The world. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word, just to stretch your legs for a minute as we head toward Holy Communion. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 3. I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and 3 to put it in context. Listen to what it says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, add your blessing to your word and bless me as I teach it and preach it in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated for a few moments today. This third verse is almost like a given. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Absolutely, in the Bible is a story about redemptive love. That's what it's all about. In fact, Christmas is about salvation. It's not about anything less than salvation. If Jesus had not come to this earth and was born in that manger, he could have never made that journey to the cross, and he could have never accomplished what he did on the cross. Without the birth of Jesus, there could have been no resurrection. And without the resurrection from the dead, there could be no salvation. That's how crucial all of these events are to the faith. There's a great danger that the death of Jesus, his dying in our place, can become part of our religious ritual, part of our religious routine. The reason there is not fire in many hearts in services today, amen, that fire of the first love burning. You know why it's not there? Because we know so much. It's a given. We've heard that. We know that. Well, it's not a knowledge that is still producing what it initially and originally produced in our life. The great opposition to revival is not atheism, and it's not humanism, and it's not communism. The great opposition to revival is lukewarmness in the Church of Jesus Christ. You want to see a perfect church? Look at Ephesus. It had it all. Commendation after commendation was flowing to them. They were saved people. They stood on the word of God. They stood up against the persecutions. They weathered the trials and tests of life. They showed up at church and they went through every prescribed religious routine and ritual. And it was all good. And Jesus said, it's all good. And they must have been bursting forth with pride in their accomplishment when he said, but I have somewhat against you. I have something against you. I have something against you. I have something against you. And it must have, because he said, you know, you've tried them. The people have come in with false doctrine and false teaching, and it's all over the place today. Many false prophets have went out into the land, and the Bible said they would deceive many. Can you say amen? So we have that. We're in that kind of a condition today. Well, they tested those that said they were apostles and were not, and found them to be liars. They wouldn't just swallow anything that came down the pike. One of the problems we have in Pentecostalism is we don't want to try the spirits properly. We're not able to operate in the discerning of spirits. We can't tell the difference many times. If we feel something, we go with it. And you're not supposed to go with anything that you feel. Everything is subject to the authority of God's word, and there should be a biblical precedent for everything that occurs in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we've got something to try it by. You can't try a spirit by your feelings. A minister of the gospel, a true blue, authentic pastor, he went to see why so many people were following this man some years ago. Remember Father Divine, they called him? He had a following, and people, he just mesmerized them. They followed him in groups and droves. fingernails that long, and you might have heard about that. He was messed up, but people followed him. And this inquisitive preacher just wanted to see, what is he doing? How are they following this nut? And he had other issues, yeah. I mean, he's messed up. Another guy came along, and he was very similar. He said Paul had three problems. One of his problems was he didn't like women. He wasn't sexual enough. Another problem was he didn't like money, indicating that if you follow me, you can have both without any conviction in your heart. Some of you may remember him. I don't know. His name won't come, but believe me, these people are real. You couldn't make this up. Amen. This was real. But this minister, when he went and he sat in one of the audiences of this Father Divine, and people would come and I'll tell you, I can't hardly tell in mixed company. I can't hardly tell in any company some of the things that went on in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. But he said, when I wanted to talk to him afterwards, I wanted to meet him and see if I could decide what I knew it was all wrong, but what is the draw? What is the pull? And he said, when I met him and shook his hand, he said there was a draw, there was a pull, there was a pull toward him. And he said, I backed off. I was concerned about that pull that I felt, that drawing. The enemy has a pull. The world has a pull. It has a draw. And the ministers that claim to be ministers of righteousness, they have something that the enemy gives them to deceive with, and there is a pull toward them. In fact, he said, it scared me so bad, I had to say, I've got to go. And he turned around and walked out of his office, because he said, I felt like I needed to fall down. I felt like a pull, like worship me, worship me, worship me. Let me tell you about the Antichrist. He wants to be God. He's going to mimic the miracles of God. And because Satan is using him, Satan himself, that's what caused the war in heaven. That's what caused this breach between him and the Lord. He said, I will sit in the congregation of the north. I will exalt my throne, amen, above the heavens. I will be like the Most High. He wanted the worship that was exclusive to be given to God and God alone. Did you know you're not even supposed to worship angels? Amen. Not even angels are to be worshipped. Only God is to be worshipped. And we're certainly not to worship preachers, even though they're highly anointed. We're to worship God and God alone, that no flesh would glory in his presence. Can you say amen? Many false prophets will go out into the earth, and they shall deceive many. And because iniquity will abound, sinfulness will be cropping up everywhere. What happens? What happens when we begin to compromise? The Bible said the love of many is going to wax cold. This has got to be the church, because something can't cool down unless it at one time was hot. And that's why Jesus said to the first church of Ephesus, what I've got against you is you've left your first love. And to the last church in the seven churches of Asia, it was Laodicea. And he said, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you are in this condition of lukewarmness, I will spew you out of my mouth. Amen. Listen, judgment doesn't begin in Atlantic City, Reno, Nevada. It doesn't begin in Los Angeles. It begins, amen, at the house of God. And this is why Jesus came, and he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. At Dieter's funeral, I met a man that had been to our church many, many years ago. And he said, you know, when I came to your church, I felt like I was in spiritual boot camp. I thought, that's good. That's good. That's why you're still standing today. Amen. You were able to fight the good fight of faith and overcome because you went through boot camp. You were well trained for what you were going to face in life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We didn't water it down. We didn't pervert it or pollute it. We told it like it was. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want you to go to heaven. Make no mistake about it. I don't want you to sit in church and I don't want you to find out when you're about to draw your last breath that the footsteps coming down the hall are not coming to take you to heaven. That's not the time to discover that. It's not the time to discover it when you stand before Jesus, who's going to judge all mankind. The Bible said God, because of Christ's sacrifice, has committed all of the judgment to the Son, every bit of it to the Son. And that's why when John saw him in the book of Revelation, his hair was as wool. That means he has the wisdom and the righteousness and the right to judge. And because he's been rejected, the Bible said his eyes. See, when I look in his eyes, I'm looking for pure love to flow. I'm looking for the love shining out of his eyes, the same love that held him to the cross. But when he comes to this earth, he's coming to judge the earth. And the Bible said, you know, we can't wait to see. I used to have a radio broadcast called Send the Light. And then it evolved into Foundations for Faith. And now it's Let's Talk About Jesus. But when I had the Send the Light broadcast, we came on just after Jimmy Swaggart. I want to say a tough act to follow because he wasn't acting, but amen, we had a lot of listeners because they were already tuned in. We came on with a song, I Can't Wait to See Jesus. I can't wait to look upon his face. Amen. To every true Christian, amen, it's going to be the most joyous time of our life when he breaks through the eastern sky. He comes back to this earth. We're caught up to meet him. Amen. And then we come back to reign and to rule and to reign with him. It's going to be a joy to look in the face of him that loved me enough to give his life on the cross for me. But listen, the Bible said when John saw him, he heard a voice as many waters flowing. He said, I turned to see this voice. That everybody say Niagara Falls. He heard the voice of power, force, and authority. This wasn't some doe-eyed Jesus on a donkey allowing them to take him to the cross. This is Jesus resurrected and glorified. Hallelujah. And he's not coming to save the world. In the book of Revelation, when John saw him, he's coming to judge the earth. His hair was as wool. His eyes were as a flame of fire. That doesn't mean he had X-ray vision. He could see into your heart, although he knows all of that. It was that his eyes were a flame of fire. It was righteous indignation. Everybody say righteous indignation. He saw wrath in the eyes. This is an incredible thing that a lamb and wrath could be used in the same sentence. Revelation chapter 4, the Bible said that all the world, the great men, the small men, the rich and the poor, and all the in between, cried to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne. We don't want to look into those piercing eyes that know we've rejected the cross. We've rejected the shed blood of Jesus. We've trodden it underfoot. And now we face him as our judge and we have no defense. Let the rocks fall on me. I don't want to look in his face. Let the mountains fall on me. Crush me, but hide me. The Bible said that they will seek death. And God won't allow them to die. Amen? Hide us from what? From the face of him who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. See, today we're going to talk about the death of Jesus on the cross, but I'm going to tell you something. Christ rejected only leaves one alternative. And there are churches that don't want to rock the boat. They don't want you to be uncomfortable. They're not going to challenge you to know that you know that you know. But I'm telling you right now, amen, if you never come back to this church again, I want you to know that in this service, you had an opportunity to get real and get right with God. To quit fronting and quit. This is not a game to be played, this religious thing. This is not a religion to be taken or left. This Bible, amen, is God's word. He's going to hold me to account to it. I can't be sinlessly perfect, but I can't just walk over it. do whatever I want to do without repercussions. As a child of God, I'm going to be chastened if I blatantly disobey Him. I tell you, how many here are children of the Lord? You've accepted Him as your Savior. Here's the deal. The Bible said, if you're a child of God, faint not when thou art chastened of Him. Everybody gets the opportunity. God is an equal opportunity chastiser. And you know something? If you'll let the Word do it, there won't have to be circumstances. Did you know you can let the Word do it? All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired by the Lord. All Scripture, every bit of it in the book, and it's good for what? Rebuke. You come in with a bad attitude, God's Word is going to hit you right between the eyes. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a cleansing thing. And reproof. If you're wrong in your heart, wrong in your life, you're not going to be comfortable when the Word confronts you. It's not supposed to. This is not a feel-good thing. This is a get-right thing. Everybody's petting everybody. Jesus didn't come to pet you into the kingdom, but to purge you. It's a purging experience. Sometimes I think I've forgiven deep enough, and I find myself still thinking or repeating this thing that hurt me or bothered me or angered me. I get in God's presence and the purging comes. The reproof comes. And if I'm blatant about it and I'm not humble and seeking to let God change me, then rebuke comes. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, it's God-breathed. Pneuma, breath. And is good for reproof, for rebuke, and for instruction in righteousness. Can you say amen? When you get a heart for God and you want to be right with God, God's Word will instruct you of what pleases Him and what is sin in His eyes. And once you go to the Bible to find that out, you forget about what the culture says. And you forget about what a liberal church says. And you forget about what a compromised preacher says. And you only listen to what God is saying. In our culture, there's a lot of things the Bible says is sin that the culture said is not sin. There's a lot of things that certain elements of the church now say is not sin. But God is the one that you will face, I will face, and they will face on the day of judgment. Can you say amen? I want to be right with God. I can't be sinlessly perfect, but I can be perfectly sincere in my commitment to not follow Satan, but to follow Jesus Christ. Can you say, man, I can be committed to that? Will I stumble? You bet. And the Word of God will reprove me when I do. And it will rebuke me and give me the opportunity to do something that will make it right again. We say we have no sin at all. We lie and do not the truth, 1 John declares. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful. He is just to forgive our sin and to purge us, to cleanse us. Cleanse us. Everybody say cleanse us. Woo! From all iniquity. Hallelujah. Sin is what we do wrong. Iniquity is that attitude within our heart that caused us to do wrong. God says, I don't want to just forgive the sin. John the Baptist put it good, didn't he? Talking about repentance. He said, now the axe is laid to the root. I got some weeds at the corner of my house, and weeds don't have to be watered. Weeds don't have to be fertilized. Weeds don't have to be cut back. And if you try to cut them down, certain weeds are stubborn. And I got some stubborn weeds, and I cut them clean down to the ground and say, boy, that looks good. That thing that grew up into that big crazy looking bush that's some kind of a weed is gone. It's not gone. It's going to come back. And the only way I can get it out is to dig around it and chop off the taproot. When I kill the taproot, then it's dead. Its days of coming back is over. And John the Baptist said, repentance lays the axe where? To the root. To the root cause. And the root cause is something within us. Not something Satan tempts us to do, but something in us that causes us to do it. And it's called iniquity. He was wounded for our transgressions. But he didn't stop with just the forgiveness of sins and leaving us a slave to sin. Hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgression, but he was bruised for our iniquity. Can you say amen? He said, I want to deliver you from the enslavement to Satan and sin and self and the flesh. I want to set you free to serve me and to worship me and to follow me. Can you say amen? Let the word of God reprove the flesh. Let it rebuke the flesh. Let it purge us. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus said? Amen. You know what the Bible said about the church that's getting ready for the coming of the Lord? The Bible said, amen, that he might cleanse it. In Ephesians 5, that he might cleanse it. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might cleanse it. That he might cleanse it. That he might cleanse it. That he might cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Amen. Some people get uncomfortable because the word rebukes them and reproves them. They head for a church where the word is not preached in that way. Where those particular issues are never brought up. Where no one is ever challenged about their life or their soul or anything else. It's just a good time and you have a good feeling and you go home with the same enslavement to sin. Jesus is coming soon. He's cleansing his church. And his church wants to be clean. His church wants to be clean. We don't run from God when he purges us. We run to him. David had failed so miserably. Amen. He said, wash me with hyssop. I want to be clean again. Create in me a clean heart. And get to the root of the matter. Amen. Renew in me a right spirit. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Take not the Holy Spirit from me. But restore unto me the joy of your salvation. I want to be in a place where God can answer my prayers. I want to be in a place where God can deliver me when I call upon him. I want to be in a place when I need help, God helps me. I want to know the joy of being forgiven and being delivered when I call on the Lord, because now there's nothing between him and I. Woo! Then something powerful happens when the world out there and the people outside the covenant see God's people being delivered, being helped, being healed. Hallelujah! Yeah. Then sinners will be converted unto you when the church gets victory again. Then! Not just because we pray, but because we get right and we get real and God gets real with us. Draw nigh was part of the interpretation to me, and I will reciprocate. I will draw nigh to you. I'm going to tell you something about me and you, starting with me, but I'm going to involve you too. You and I are as close to God as we want to be. You say, Brother Bumble, I want to get closer to the Lord. No, you don't. Not yet, you don't. The day you do, you're going to get closer. Because if you draw nigh to him, he says, I'm waiting for that opening in your life. I'm waiting for that opportunity. Can you say, man, when you're not satisfied with just going to church, but you want the living God. When you get to the point like David was, when he was in the desert, his kingdom couldn't comfort him. His countrymen had turned on him and followed his own son who wanted to kill him and take his kingdom. Amen. He was out in the middle of the desert, hiding for his life, separated from the temple, by himself and isolated. And he said, as the heart pants after the water brooks, So my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for the living God. When you get to where you're hungry for God, amen, God is going to fill you up. God is going to run you over. As long as you're satisfied to go to church where you're comfortable, where it is convenient, amen, you will never get hungry. But if you get down in your life, somebody's going to tell you that everything's going to be all right when it's really all wrong. And you're going to find out for yourself it's not right. You can't get God's favor because a preacher pats you on the back or pats you on the head. You get God's favor by bowing to Him and Him alone. Can you say amen? I can't do that for you. But God, hallelujah, will draw nigh to you the day you decide you don't want to play church. This is not a game anymore. This is reality. And I want God to be real to me, so I'm going to get real with God. Hallelujah. Amen. God will deliver you from anything that you really want to be free from. You got to want it more than you want your sin. You got to want it more than you want your flesh to be satisfied and indulged. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, it starts with self-denial, not self-indulgent. The wonderful thing about denying yourself, I was asked to preach at a gym, the Naturite gym in it was a beginning, and Stan Morey, I told you last week, he's a biology teacher, and he also owned a gym. He had a degree in doctor's degree in physiology, and he could teach biology. He had this gym because he knew how to tell bodybuilders what to do, and most of the things they did was go in the back and do the juice, get that shot of a male hormone or whatever it was that they, steroids. And but they had to know the movements. They had to know, and Stan was good at it. Stan was real good at it. And I remember when I used to go to that gym, and I'd get through. I had on my sweatpants. I had on a sweatshirt because I was trying to sweat off some weight, build some muscle under there, try to look like that guy I saw in the magazine. I got me one of those magazines. Had Arnold Schwarzenegger back then. He was the big bodybuilder, you know, and he was standing there. And I was looking at that picture thinking, you know, I mean, I'll never be like that, but I just, you know. And so anyway, I was looking at that picture. And I remember Matthew. He was about 8 years old, and he came in, 8 or 9. He came in the parsonage, and he saw that magazine. He looked at that magazine. He looked at me. He looked at that magazine. He looked at me. And I knew what he was thinking. I didn't want him to say a word. I thought, don't say it, son. Don't say it. Don't say it. He pointed at them big old arms, big old chest. And he said, Daddy, how come you ain't got none of these? I said, son, go play. Go play. Go play. I wasn't after none of them. It would have been nice if I could have come in and looking like Arnold on Sunday. Yeah. But I never did get there. But I got to the gym regularly for my health above everything else. And when I left the gym, I went by this place about a quarter of a mile from the gym, Temple Terrace, by this place, and there's a bunch of young people, college age, and they were out raking and mowing and edging and working around this place, and it had a little sign up of something about Jesus. And I thought, boy, I got to commend these young people. I just felt drawn to them. I just pulled my car over. I'm in my sweats, you know, and I just hollered out the window. I said, I just want to say God bless you today. I just want to say God bless you. Well, about five of them come running over to the car. Amen. They were drawn to me, and I'm sitting there, you know, and I'd just been to the gym. I got on my sweatpants and tennis shoes, and I don't look nothing like a preacher, you know. I look like, and I don't look like a bodybuilder either, but I don't look like a preacher. Amen. So they came over to the car, and they said to me, they said, yeah, we're part of a Campus Crusade for Christ, some of them were, and others that had gotten saved through their ministry, and said, we ministered on the campus of the University of South Florida. I said, man, that's incredible. What a great job. And y'all are out here working like this. I just had to say God bless you for that. And they said, do you go to church here in Tampa? I said, yeah, I go to the Holy Church of God in Sulphur Springs. They said, you do? I said, yes, I do. They said, what is your name? I said, My name is Robert Venable. They say, are you the pastor of that church? I said, yes, I am the pastor. They said, we got your tape. How did you get my tape? Said, we've almost wore it out. We played it so much. They said, it inspires us. It turns us on. It makes us want to serve Jesus with everything that we are and win others to Him. I said, well, what's the title of it? I thought, I want one of those. Hallelujah. Sometimes the preacher needs inspiration. You need to know it's affecting somebody. But to hear young people, college age, wanting to commit deeper to Christ, to follow Him. Hallelujah. To sell out and be sold out. It thrilled me, man. It turned me on. We got in that conversation. I said, what is the name of that? And they said, Total Commitment to Jesus. One of those old cassettes, Total Commitment to Christ. I thought, wow, you want to hear about a total commitment to Jesus Christ? You want to know how to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him? You got that kind of heart? And the next thing they said, would you come and speak for us? And I thought, on Wednesday, or Thursday, anyway, it was a night we didn't have church. I said, you betcha. I didn't have to pray about that. Well, I'll pray about that. Nothing to pray about. I'm a preacher called to preach. Somebody wanted to hear a message. Somebody wants to be deeply committed to Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to be deeply committed in that college culture where they're going to try to undermine everything they can about the faith. Can you say amen? And so many shallow Christians, so many ritualistic Christians in church that are not deeply committed to Christ anymore. And the first love isn't flaming up anymore. And we subsidize with all kinds of entertainment instead of true worship. Because true worship is not just what you do in church. It's what you do when you walk out that door. And you surrender to the Lord. Someone said the communion table is not where you come to make deals with God. It's where you come to agree to unconditional surrender. I call it the surrender that brings serenity. I call it that because when you really surrender to the Lord, that tension between you and God's will and purpose for your life is relieved. You're no longer someone drawing back. You're someone just letting Him lead you forth. Can you say amen? And there's a peace that comes. There's a peace that comes. And I can look out over an audience and I'm not... Let me close my eyes. Everybody look and see that my eyes are closed. So you won't know if I'm looking at you or not. But I can see the people that the tension is on. I can see the tension. You know why the tension's there? The surrender hasn't come. The serenity can't come. That peace that passes understanding. That peace of knowing my life is hid in Christ in God. Amen. That selling out. You are bought with a price. Hallelujah. You are not your own. And so what is the appropriate thing to do if you've been bought with a price and you don't belong to yourself? Give yourself away to the Lord that bought you. He won't hurt you. He won't harm you. He will help you. Amen. He will help you through that draw to worship the things of this world, that draw to self-indulgence. He will help you, amen, to deny yourself. He will show you the joy of taking up your cross. He will show you the victory of following Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And to show you the dichotomy, everybody knew that I preached whole, full-out commitment, radical commitment to Christ. I don't see anything less in the Bible. I don't see anything less. I've searched it, studied it for over 40 years. I do not see some softened approach to following Jesus. It was all or nothing. All or nothing. Any man that comes to follow me and hates not house, land, father, mother, sister, brother, and yea, his own life cannot. Sound like me preaching. It's not me, it's Jesus. I got my cues from Him. People said, Pastor, you're a hard preacher. No, I'm a truth preacher. And if the truth seems hard, it's because there's something in us that doesn't want to embrace it. But if you continue in my word, he said, if you'll let it purge you, let it cleanse you, and know the joy of being really right with God. If you continue in my word, John 8:30 says, you will know the truth. Not just intellectually because you sat in a Bible class, but experientially because you applied it to your daily life. And the truth will then do something for you. That only the truth applied can do. Everybody say the truth applied. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Can you say amen? It'll make you free. It'll make you free. Christ loved the church and cleansed it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot nor blemish, nor, but that she should be holy. Can you say amen? John 15, he said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Amen. Every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. I don't know about you, but I can deepen my commitment after 40 years. There's still room for my roots to go down into him and my stalk to grow up unto him. Can you say, man? I need to be challenged to keep on, keeping on. Hallelujah. Mupaha sandadabarokana salabariandadabasatai. I preached to these college age young people with so much temptation in their path. Just coming out of that world culture with professors that teach them atheism and every other kind of wrong attitude. And they wanted to deepen their commitment to follow Jesus Christ. And so I brought them a fresh message. Amen. Not just the one on the tape. And I talked about the joy of taking up your cross. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the... For the what? Take up your cross, you don't have any more fun. No, take up your cross, you get something better than fun. You get joy. Can you say, man, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, when you enjoy, there's pleasure. Amen. It's not a pressure to serve God anymore. It's a pleasure. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who was so persecuted, rejoiced, he said. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his sake. At midnight, held over to be killed in the morning, Paul and Silas prayed and the joy kicked in and sang praises unto God. And while they were singing praises, God shook the prison and the jail cells come open. And the keeper of the prison, he said, they're going to kill me for letting you guys go. You know what Paul said? We're all here. Not just the disciples of Jesus, but all the other prisoners that were put in. They didn't even run off. And honey, when something's going on that's so of God, that if the doors come open, the prisoners don't run off. We need that in the church of Jesus Christ today. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. We're all, everybody say all. We're all right here. He said, then what must I do to be saved? Can you say amen? Amen. If they ain't going to kill me, I sure don't want to be wrong with a God this great, this mighty, and this good. Hallelujah. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And because you're the daddy, and back then a daddy had respect and influence, you're going to take this message to your house, because you and your household are going to be brought into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Woo! You say, Brother Rumble, I get uncomfortable when you talk about judgment and sin. Well, of course. That message is to help you crucify the flesh. Your flesh don't want to give up. Your flesh don't want to give. If you got a grudge against somebody, let me tell you about your flesh. Your flesh don't want to let it go. Wants to keep justifying it. Well, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter what they did to you. What matters is what Jesus did for you. Can you say, man, you got to let it go. He says, let it go. He says, let it go. Your flesh says, I don't want to. Amen. But you say, y'all, but here's the deal. Amen. I'm going to put you on the cross where you belong. You're not my master anymore. I deny myself and take up my cross. Have you ever wanted to hit somebody? Thank you for the hearty amen. Have you ever seen somebody just needed to be slapped? Have you ever had the want to? I ministered in a Baptist church on on Ball Street in Plant City, $1 million facility, wonderful church facility. And I told them this story that Billy Graham said, your flesh always wants things. I want it, 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 I want it. Your spirit says you can't have it. And the day your spirit rules over your flesh, you have just crucified it. It's a suffering that sets you free. It's a suffering to your will. It's a bowing of your will to His will. Not my will, but Thy will sets you free from the will of the flesh. There's two wills in you. The will of your spirit and the will of your flesh. Somebody's going to have to win that battle. I've told you the story, but it's so appropriate. Old prospector, according to Billy Graham, is prospecting. Him and his mule out in the middle of nowhere. He's got a few little nuggets of gold. And the guy sees his campfire, smells the coffee and the bacon. He wants to get what he's got. And he walks up, and the old guy's sitting there under the beautiful moon, listening to the coyotes and howling and whatever they do. Anyway, he's in a beautiful environment. He's got a little bit of gold dust to get. And this guy walks up, and he's got two guns pulled, two six-shooters, and he puts them right on him. Amen. He's come to rob him. A lot of time when they rob you, like they did in Jesus' day, they killed you. So there wouldn't be anybody, there were no forensics, no way to tie you to it, no eyewitness, you're home free. He's going to rob him and take his money, maybe kill him. But he wanted to have some fun out of the old prospector. So he said, have you ever danced while holding your leg on one foot? And he pulled back, and the guy said, no, I haven't. He said, I want you to dance. Pulled back the hammer on that six shooter and started firing both six shooters at his feet. The old prospector is dancing and counting. One gun goes click, click, and the other gun goes click, click. And he drops down to his blanket, pulls a sawed-off shotgun from under the blanket, pulls back both hammers on it, points it right at that guy, and he says, sir, have you ever kissed a mule? He said, no, but I've always wanted to. Your flesh wants what it wants, but your God wills what He wills. And when you put God's will above what you want, you effectively crucify the flesh. Hallelujah. Every time I want to and I don't, that my spirit man rises up in control in my life. My spirit man takes over. There are people I wanted to give a piece of my mind. And when I held my peace, didn't we used to sing it? It's about crucifying the flesh. It's not some little ditty in church. If I hold my, I'll try. I told a pastor the other day, I said, I hear some things. I hear some things that I've got tooth marks on my tongue. You know why? I had to bite my tongue. I don't mean literally bite it, but you know what I mean. I have to pull it up. I have to pull in the reins and say, boy, I wanted to give them a piece of my mind. Some people have given away so many pieces, there's not much mind left, I'm afraid. When I'm angry, I want to express that anger. Amen? Yes, I do. And you do too. You do too. We all do. Everybody has a temper. Everybody, without exception. There's no place in holiness where your flesh doesn't have to be dealt with. There's no place of super sanctification that you never have to deal with it again. You're always going to have to deal with it. I remember a preacher coming to our church, and my last illustration, he came to our church and he's preaching on dying out to self, death to self. He said, it's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. He said, I'm as dead as a man down in the funeral home. You go stick his toe with a pin and he ain't going to grimace. He don't feel it anymore. He said, I'm dead. He said, if I shake a woman's hand, I can't tell the difference between a woman's hand and a man's hand. Makes no difference. I'm dead to self. And I thought, oh Lord. I was a young preacher, but I thought that don't sound right. That's a little too dead. Amen. I don't believe your flesh is that dead. I believe your flesh is playing possum is what it's doing. It's acting dead, but it ain't dead. Amen? Amen? I was young back then. I could tell. You know what I'm saying? Nothing. And he decided to come to our town and take a church to pastor. To get off that evangelist hit and run, he decided to pastor. And when he started pastoring, he had to stay with the people. When you stay with the people, you better know how to crucify the flesh. Because you sure can't let it go then. And he said, there's some people that wanted me out of that church after 6 weeks. He came to me. He was toe up from the flow up. Amen. His peace was gone. Evidently, his old flesh resurrected. He was upset. He was mad. He was angry. He said, five of them, and I could see the veins standing out. He said, five of them came to my office. Five of them came to jump on. I don't mean to physically, but he's the one that wanted to get physical. They just wanted to get him out of there. He was mad. Five of them came to my office. He said, I was reading my Bible when they came in without even knocking. And I looked up and I seen him, and he said, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I saw red. I thought, you ain't a dead man then. Blind man neither. And he said, a thought came to me. I guess he saw a Bruce Lee movie. Amen. You know why? Because he's a thought came to him. And it is. It's in one of these self-defense. If there's more than one person, take out the baddest one first, because it will kind of dishearten the other ones. He said, yeah. Take out the biggest and the baddest. The rest of them say, Lord, have mercy. He done knocked down Big Joe. Amen. Big Joe is down. Nobody knocks down Big Joe. Maybe we better not approach him. And he said, a thought came to me. And guess where it came from? The devil and his cooperating flesh. Both of them will talk to you. And a thought came to me. A thought came to me. Oh, I bet it did. And it wasn't, I'm dead and it don't bother me. No, it's I'm very alive and I want to hit somebody. And a thought came to me. Take out that big guy and the rest of them will flee. I'm talking about knock him out. And I thought, where did this super sanctified death to self go? That little baby right there. Somebody grabs that baby out of that mama's arms. Ooh, Lord have mercy. We got a real problem, right, ma'am? Yes, ma'am. I got a good amen over there. Sure enough. I'm telling you. Our flesh is alive and well until we override it and overrule it. And the only thing that's going to cause us to override it and overrule it is a love for God for loving us, a deep devotion that says, I would rather please you than please myself. Jesus did it in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there's any other way, let the cup pass. Not what I will. Here's that conflict. He had flesh to deal with just like us, and he had to crucify it before he went to the cross. Jesus had to crucify the flesh in Gethsemane, or he would have never went to the cross. Amen? He had to. Not what I will. That means there was a conflict going on here. But I want your will more than my way. So nevertheless, Not what I will, but what you will be done. And when he said it, all heaven backed him up. See, this is the thing most people don't get. When you make that kind of commitment, all of heaven's resources become yours. And what you can't do in yourself, you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. You get all of heaven's resources. The Bible said in one of the Gospels that when he said that, angels came and ministered unto him. They didn't give him something to numb him to the suffering on the cross. They give him something that he could take the beating and stay on the cross until the suffering was completed. What they gave him was the strength to stay on the cross while feeling every bit of the agony until he could cry, "Tetelestai, it is accomplished." That means whatever you're facing, even the death of the cross, God gave him what he needed to do that. But he died crying, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" It wasn't a special presence. They strengthened his physical body. Remember what happened when Elijah was emaciated in the cave? He hadn't eaten in all those days. He would have died in there because he's afraid to stick his head out. As soon as he came out, as soon as God brought him out, and he came out, an angel came with a meal for his flesh. This was for his flesh. God ministered to his spirit, but the angel came to minister to his flesh. And he brought him a meal, and what a meal it was. The Bible said he ate that meal, and he went on the strength of that one meal for 40 days. It was 40 days before he got hungry. It's 40 days before your sugar level began to drop. It's 40 days before he began to feel weak. Can you say, man, God sustained him supernaturally? Hallelujah. And the day we commit to follow Jesus with all of our heart, hallelujah, the day we do that, the very day that we do that, God's supernatural is going to flood our lives. You can overcome the flesh, you can overcome the world, and you certainly can overcome the devil. But it begins with a devotion to Jesus. God will deliver you from anything. God will deliver you from everything. But it takes a wholehearted, full-blown commitment to follow him. So he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Follow me. They begin to feel a little bit of the sacrifice they'd made to follow Jesus in the material sense. And they said, "Lord, we've forsaken all to follow you." He looked at them with a gleam in his eye. He said, "Did you lack anything? Did you lack anything? The real important stuff?" "No, Lord. Not at all. Not at all. Never." He fills everything that you vacate. For more of him, he fills it with himself. And it'll give you more pleasure than anything the stuff could have given you or the sin could give you. No man has left house, land, father, mother, brother, sister, for my sake and the gospel, that shall not receive 100-fold houses, lands, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers. Amen. In this life and eternal life in the world to come. He's not talking about 100 houses because you gave up one. He's not talking about 100 wives because one left you. I can't handle 100 wives. I got my hands full with one. And Terry said, "Amen." Wouldn't take $1 million for the one I got. Wouldn't give you a nickel for another one. I'm serious. We've been together since we were children. We love each other. We know each other. We help each other. Somebody else would expect more out of me. They want my toenails trimmed. All kinds of weird stuff. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the time. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Don't run from cleansing. Amen. Come to Christ for purging. Every branch that bears fruit, he bears down on it. He purges it. He said, "You know what? You can do even better. You can do even more. You can be even more." Hallelujah. Before you do anything. And he purges it with the washing of water by the word. Now you're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for rebuke and reproof and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be fully furnished to every good work. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe God wants to showcase the true church to a doubting, gainsaying world. Before he takes us out of this world, I believe he wants the world to see reality and to see truth and to see the bride of Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And to look upon what God is doing in his church and say, there is a reality. There is something authentic going on here. This is not all phony baloney. This is genuine. Hallelujah. Then sinners will be converted unto thee, and transgressors will learn thy way. I'm going to read a statement as we prepare for communion. If we could cut through the other issues of the Christian faith, go straight to the core of what it means to be Christian, we would find ourselves standing in front of a cross. It's not a pretty sight. A man hangs on that cross in the throes of death. He gasps for breath. Sweat coats his body. Blood trickles down his hands and feet and drips to the ground. People mock and laugh, and some curse as he dies. Soldier picks up a spear and thrusts it under his rib cage at the man's heart. Water and blood flow mingled down. And then it's over. The gruesome business is done. The crucifixion is complete. But something happened on that cross that even those who stood there did not see when it happened. The Bible says that a sacrifice was offered. A price was paid. And a judgment was canceled. I want you to say that with me. A sacrifice was offered. A price was paid. You're bought with a price. And a judgment was canceled. Thank God. I don't have to look into the eyes of the Lamb and see the white hair and the eyes of fire and the feet of brass. I see the loving one that loved me enough to die for me, that I have received and committed myself to as my Lord and my Savior. And I will fight with my flesh until he comes and we're changed. I will fight with my flesh. But it's a good fight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My wife and I, looking to where we are in life and the things that have happened so far, my near brush with going on home to be with the Lord, and we look at each other and we say, if something happened to one of us tomorrow, it's been a good run. It's been a good run. It's been a good run. Can you say amen? We don't have the reputation of building some grand church in Tampa, Florida, but we have a reputation of serving Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, we have a reputation for serving Jesus Christ. As for me and my house, Brother Taylor, everybody under the roof of it, glory to God. We got a sanctified dog. Amen. We don't let him kill the squirrel. We don't let him kill the cat. He can chase it if he wants to, but he can't hurt it. Can you say amen? We won't let him bite the postman. It's for me and my house. You can ask my children that are under my roof. As for me and my house, the ones while they were under my roof, my son got into heavy metal rock. And I don't know why. I was passing by his room. And did you go in their room? Did you invade their privacy? Ain't no privacy in my house. I ain't got no privacy. Every time I shut and lock the door, they want in my room. That works both ways. I heard a guy say the other day, a Christian guy, he was on Bill Gaither's broadcast. He said, you know something? He said, we had to hide. We would cook brownies, give all the kids one. We put some back for ourselves because they'd eat them all. And then we'd go back after the kids go to bed, or they go off and outside to play, and we'd take those brownies. We'd take the brownies, and we'd go in our bedroom, shut the door, amen, and begin to eat them brownies because the kids aren't around. He said we were in there, said it was so much fun because we had them brownies now without the kids around. We were in there in the bedroom eating brownies, and the kids heard us giggling in the bedroom because we was eating brownies, and they come knocking on the door. What are y'all doing? He said they thought we were up to something. We were eating brownies. Anyway, I just thought I'd run that by you because they, you know, just... Me and my house. And then when I became a pastor, it became me and God's house. As for me, as a pastor in God's house, we're going to serve the Lord. 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 Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Can God keep your marriage together? 50 years of living in a fishbowl. 50 years of everybody scrutinizing you, the pressures of ministry, the trials of life, all of the family stuff we've had to face, 50 years, amen, and yet God is still our God. He's still our Lord. I love to hear my wife rejoicing. I love to hear her praying. Praise God. Are we perfect? Far from it. God's not done with us. He ain't nowhere near done with us. Do we love Him? You bet we do. How are we sold out to Jesus? Absolutely. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And in this church, I can't speak for everybody else, but right here, we're committed to serve Him. Let me finish this real quick. We're almost done. Those kids, I call them now, 19, 20-year-old college kids, they gladly received and embraced the message of cleansing and purity and total commitment to Christ. Guess where? It was like a ping pong ball. They asked me to go to one of the largest Pentecostal churches in Tampa, Florida. Denominational, Pentecostal. But they had a problem because they had also a singles meeting. There's so many people. They had singles from all churches that met at their church on a Thursday, on a Friday night. And they had, you know, they had barbecues and they had food. This time they had desserts. And they all met together. It's a chance for Christian singles to meet Christian singles. And it's a great place to meet them. It's better than a bar if people are committed in church. And so the director asked the pastor, can I ask Pastor Venable to come and preach on commitment? You know why? They didn't tell me anything. But if they're asking me to come and specify what I'm to preach on, I can only assume that there's stuff going on that ought not between Christian people. Amen? Because if you're going to ask me to preach on commitment, I'm assuming there's a need there. And normally I don't consent to preach on anything anybody asks because I just want to be totally led of the Spirit. But if you ask me to preach on commitment, you can pretty much say God wants that preached. So I came and I preached the same message under the same anointing, using the same scriptures. And it was like letting the air out of somebody's tire. And these are adults. I mean, these are 20 to 50 to 60. These are full-blown, in-church, baptized, Bible-toting adults. But they didn't want it. And then I said, there's why revival isn't in the church. And that's why God's moving among those young people that'll embrace the cross instead of these people that seeing how far they can push the envelope and still call themselves Christian. Amen. Amen. And I decided right then, brother, I do not want to waste time spinning my wheels. I did not want to go back and preach for them again. I did not want to try to teach them anything until they come to a place in life that Jesus is more important than sin and self-indulgence. They're not going to receive the message. But if they ever come to that place, you can call me. If you ever want somebody to hear about, amen, a commitment to Christ, in fact, call me up. And when they're ready for that message, I'm ready to preach it. I never was called back. I never went back. I didn't want to be there. And you can count all the heads in the congregation on Sunday and put it up on the board as success. It isn't. Amen. We're not here just to get heads in the building, but to get hearts committed to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Not just money for the building fund, but people who find the joy of truly serving Jesus. And in this communion today, I'm going to ask this. This is the challenge. Ask the Lord, what should be the ultimate theme of this communion? And the theme of this communion, and you can't see this 30-ish young black man at Central Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina, singing, but he sings from the heart, and the musicians are worshiping, and the choir is worshiping. God asks us for unconditional surrender. You say, Brother Bimble, I did that back in 02. I did that back in the 90s. I did that back in the 70s, the 60s in my case. I'm going to tell you something. I have to come back to the foot of the cross time and time again and surrender my will and say, not my will, but yours be done. That's the only reason I'm still pastoring, Brother Taylor. That's the only reason. And you folks, amen, and your receptivity to God's word. How many don't want your preacher to compromise? Can I see your hand? You want me to bring you God's truth on Sunday. If you keep embracing that, you'll continue in the word, because I'm going to continue to tell you what it says exactly without holding back, and you'll know the truth. If you decide to apply it, then the truth will make you free. How many believe there's room in your life at this Holy Communion to surrender more of your life to the will of God? Things may not have turned out the way you wanted. You may be discouraged. Recommit yourself to be where God wants you to do what He wants you to do. Praise God. I surrender. Would you serve us, Holy Communion? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We come to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you. For the joy that's set before us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Jesus.